Romans chapter 8 is probably the greatest chapter in all the Bible. And there are many Bible scholars and commentators who would agree. And that is in part because it addresses the two greatest struggles that all of us as believers have. The first struggle is our struggle with remaining sin. The struggle that the Apostle Paul laments in chapter 7, verse 24, his struggle in himself, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And Romans chapter 8 answers that struggle with remaining sin with these two words: no condemnation. The provision in the gospel of Christ supplies the inner transforming help of the Holy Spirit. The provision in him that answers the struggle with the flesh and leads us as sons in calling out as adopted ones, "Abba, Father." In verse 13, we see that provision: "If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." The Holy Spirit's ministry to help us put the flesh in its control of our bodies to death. The second struggle that we face as believers, the second greatest struggle, is our struggle with suffering. And that begins in verse 17. It's introduced in verse 17, but it goes all the way from chapter 8, verse 18, down to verse 27. The struggle with the flesh is one thing, but this is the struggle with suffering. And the answer to this struggle is found in verse 35 and again in verse 39. There is no separation. I'm secure in his love. There's no condemnation. I'm secure in his love. There's no separation. And this time, the provision in the gospel of Christ supplies hope, the hope of the glory of God. You'll see that in verse 24. We are saved by hope, but hope that is not seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. This is a transformation. This is a change that shall be wrought. The best is still to come. As great as our blessings are here now as sons, there is a far greater inheritance that is awaiting us. In verse 17, it speaks of this: "If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." A far more wonderful provision, an inheritance, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus, when one day at his coming, Jesus shall reign and come into his inheritance, so shall we, in our union with him, come into our inheritance. Believers suffer in this world just as the rest of humanity does. And from the youngest in this room to the oldest, we all experience suffering in some way, at some time, in some form. It could be a medical challenge or a health challenge, a sickness of some kind. There is a famous rugby player in Scotland called Doddy Weir, who at the age of 46 was diagnosed with motor neurone disease. That's a wasting disease that eventually you become locked in. Your mind is still active, but you can't speak, you can't even blink. So at the age of 54 in 2022, Doddy Weir died. But as some people do, when they face suffering of this kind, they rise to the challenge. And the way that he arose to the challenge was to raise money to address motor neurone disease. And so he established the Doddy Weir Fund that rose 8 million raised £8 million as a foundation to help research and help raise awareness of that disease. You may have heard too of families that suffer, relationships where there are losses and the suffering that that causes us emotionally and mentally, the heartache. Well, last week in the news, there has been an ongoing inquiry into the Boeing MAX 8 disasters. So Boeing 737 MAX 8 was a version of Boeing's medium-range aircraft. Within 1 year, two of these crashed with the loss of all life on board. 346 people died. Daughters lost their fathers. Husbands lost their spouses. Parents lost their children. They were gone. And there has been then, as happens sometimes when people suffer in this world, they campaign for justice. The way that they address suffering is to attack it. The way that they handle this is to call for justice, to change the law, to hold Boeing accountable, even to clear the name. And so I could go on by giving other illustrations, not of those who arise to the challenge of suffering by making a foundation or by going on a campaign for justice, but those for whom the grief of suffering, instead of rising to it and responding courageously to it, it breaks them. And we could give thousands of different kinds of sufferings that humanity experiences, and that believers as part of that are not spared from it. But Romans chapter 8 verse 18 makes this statement. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Doddy Weir isn't wrong to start a foundation, but the way that he handles suffering is by things of this present world. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to advertise, raise the awareness of this so that others don't have to suffer like me. Or Zipporah Kura, her father was one of those killed on one of those Boeing 8, MAX 8 aircraft. Was she wrong to go to the congressional hearing and to raise up a photograph of her father calling for justice for him? She wasn't wrong. But the way that she was addressing her suffering was also in this life. The way that believers handle the sufferings of this lifetime is not now. It doesn't have to do with the things of this present world. Paul says it has to do with a comparison of things that are far greater, a glory that shall be revealed in us. Nothing is going to separate me from this. Nothing is going to stop this. We look at what's going on now, how difficult it is, why it hurts. Why doesn't God stop it? Why doesn't he change it or make it better? Ah, but here is the Holy Spirit's answer. It will be better. And it will be worth it. This is now the cruise season in Halifax. I think they're estimating that this year they're going to break the record for the number of cruise ships that come in. And on Monday mornings when I travel into Halifax, I go on that road that goes down by St. Mary's. So St. Mary's is over here. And then you come to a traffic light, and that's when you start to see it. Usually you don't see anything, but you can tell when there's a cruise liner in because it dominates. It's even bigger than the Westin Hotel. They are so many stories high. This is just a huge thing now that takes up the horizon. Well, here is a huge thing that should take up the believer's mind and the believer's understanding of even the difficult things that they have to endure in this lifetime. And that is the glory that shall be revealed in us. And there are three things in this passage that are going to help us grasp this hope. That's going to help us take in this when we have to face the sufferings of this present life. And these three things all are groanings. So there are three groanings that we're going to look at in these next verses. You'll see the first one. It is the groaning of the whole of creation, verse 22. And then number two, the second groaning, is the groaning of the believer, verse 23. And then thirdly, there is the groaning of the Holy Spirit in verse 26. The first of these groanings helps us see the scale of this. This isn't just talking about a few Christians who are going to go to heaven. This is talking about the whole of creation being transformed. So let's read it so that we would have a better understanding of this. Beginning in verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was not made subject to vanity, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. When sin entered the world, it affected Adam's race, Romans 5:12. Wherefore sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But not only did it affect all of Adam's progeny, not only did it affect all the race, all the created order too became subject to corruption and suffering and decay. I don't remember the details of it, but I do remember that we were on a long road trip. I think it was in the United States, but I can't remember. And we ended up traveling along behind an 18-wheeler. And some way ahead of us, the 18-wheeler hit a deer. So the trucker didn't stop. Just, you know, it's not very much for one of these big, weighty machines. But we ended up passing the deer just as the deer was getting up. And it could get up with its front legs, but it couldn't get up with its back legs. And right at that moment, because I was aware, I was the driver, I was watching, I can remember passing it, and just as we passed it, I could see the face of the deer looking around, and it was wondering what is going on. And I got a sense of this animal doesn't understand. It doesn't understand what's happened to it. A bewildered kind of look. And so that affects the whole of creation. Not just the death of animals, but the whole of creation is in a system of decay. Even the solar system is experiencing the degradation of energy into less ordered energy. It's the law of entropy. That's why the solar system and the sun and everything else about it is in decay, because of this that entered when man sinned. It affected the whole of the created order. And this is saying that the whole cosmos, the whole created order is waiting the renovation of a new heaven and a new earth. This isn't just the hope of a few Christians. This is the hope of the entire creation that God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. The scale of this inheritance is enormous. And we shall share, because of our union with Jesus Christ, we shall share. Can I point you back to verse 17? We shall share in his inheritance. In Revelation 21, verse 1, it talks about a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us that the heavens shall be destroyed, that they will melt with fervent heat. There will be a new creation. Even when there is a regeneration of the earth in the millennium, Isaiah 11, 6 says that the wolf shall lie down with the lamb. That this is not just a trivial in a corner idea. This is going to transform all of God's creation. The glory that shall be revealed in us is enormous. Do you get the scale of this? This is exciting. When we think of the sufferings of this present time, they are not worthy to be compared with that glory. Number two, there is the groaning, verse 23, that is within the believer. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. This is the groaning. We see the scale of it in the first groaning, the groaning of creation. But this is a groaning that is internal, in fact, an internal assurance. It's within believers, a longing that is assured by the present ministries of the Holy Spirit. We read this morning in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, that the Holy Spirit is the earnest of what God is going to accomplish. The earnest of something is the deposit, the down payment that the completed transaction is going to take place. Well, here it says, verse 23, the Holy Spirit doesn't use the term earnest. It uses the word first fruits. The Holy Spirit and his ministry within us is like the first fruits of a completed harvest. So while we look out and we see the suffering that's in creation, the decay, the corruption that's taking place around us, this is now something that we experience within us. That deposit that we can know working in us assures us that the glorious realization we long for isn't an idle idea, it's a reality that will not only change us spiritually, but it will change us bodily. If you look again at that verse, it says, we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, when Jesus comes again, he will come in his glorious body. Now that he is glorified in heaven, he, as the eternal God, is also a glorified human nature. But when he comes in his glory, it says, Philippians 3:21, that we shall also be transformed, that Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And this is the hope now, verse 24, that the believer has. We can't touch it now, but that doesn't diminish the fact that this is really going to take place, that it is yet to come, and we long for it. We're not impatient. It says in verse 25 that we with patience wait for it. That glorious change. So we have the scale of it with the first groaning. We have the internal assurance of it with the second groaning. That's the groaning, the longing that we have within us that is part of the first fruits of the Spirit. But then thirdly, we have the groaning when we don't know what to ask for. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. When we can't grasp the magnitude of this, the Holy Spirit intercedes with groanings. We have the longing of creation, the longing of the child of God. This is now the longing of the Holy Spirit. And he helps me that there is a hope, that the best is yet to be. When in my weakness, I can't see the way ahead, he is the one who intercedes for me. That God has done something right now to be my help. He has put within me the Holy Spirit who intercedes for me. When we were living in Scotland, there was a missionary wife. We were close to them, and one time they came up to visit us in Edinburgh, and she was talking and she said, "I'm just so burdened. I'm so battered and brought low, I can't even pray." And I didn't know at the time what was happening. She was very discreet in both she and her husband didn't share with us what was going on. I had no idea until later what they were going through. But even at the time where, like that missionary pastor's wife, you don't know what to ask for, you don't know how there can be anything forward from this, when you would fail, there is one who does secure you, who does supply your help. Amen. And it's always great to have friends, even a best friend that is praying for you, but this is an intercessor who dwells within you. And there is another intercessor in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24, who has a perpetual interceding ministry. The Holy Spirit intercedes within us, but Jesus intercedes at the Father's hand. The Holy Spirit intercedes according to the will of God. When we can't imagine, when we can't see the way forward, he is the one. He is the help. And it is his longing, too, that we should know the glory that shall be revealed in us. All the Bible is a delight. In Psalm 19, the psalmist says that thy word is sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. It's all profitable. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. But Romans chapter 8 is saying to you that there's no condemnation for you. In that struggle that you have with your flesh, there's no condemnation for you. You're secure in his love. It's fixed. It can't be changed. And Romans chapter 8 is saying there's no separation for you. You're secure in his love. Something of the magnitude of his provision. You might think, well, he would just keep me as a poor waif somewhere in his court. But he makes you his child. Back in Romans 8, it says, verse 14 and verse 15, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Consider the provisions that God has made by the Spirit to help you. He's put the Spirit within you to help you deal with remaining sin. He's put the Spirit within you to help you cry out, to long, even when you're brought low to your lowest point and you can't even look up. Even then, God's provided for you in this present time when your heart would be laid low and even bewildered. He assures you that the best is yet to be. When you're worn down and out, you can be sure that in His love, you're secure. There's no condemnation, and there will be no separation. This is the glory that awaits the believer. The best is yet to be. But if you're not a believer, the worst is yet to come for you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, it talks about the wrath that's coming. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus, I trust that you all do. But there are many in the world around us, some that we are praying for, who do not know and do not have a saving relationship with Jesus. And for them to pass into eternity without Him is to experience the wrath to come. The best is what they have now. The worst is what is coming. So for you as a believer today, Romans chapter 8 is probably the best chapter in all the Bible, because it deals with that problem you have with your sin and that struggle we have with suffering. The way that He deals with suffering is helping us to see that we're secure in His love. The scale of what He's going to do, the internal application of it, and even the praying for it, He's made provision for you. Let's pray.